Amen. Thank you, Matthew. Wonderful song. Wonderful song. Here am I, Lord. Can you say that to the Lord? Here am I, send me. And we so need that in our day and age. We so need it. I want you to know before I read my text this morning that I turned the organ off before I came up here. Amen. It gets disorganized. Some of you will get that later on. Amen. And it's happened a time or two when other preachers have been up here preaching and just failed to turn the amp off, and the organ times out, and so the signal goes through. So a lot of disorganized things occur, but Lord's good. Amen. Lord's good anyhow. Take your Bible, please, with me. Let's go to the book of John. And chapter 9, the book of John and chapter 9 in your Bibles this morning. I understand that we have a honeymoon couple in our church this morning. Is that right? Amen, Brother Tim and his wife. I want you to do something after the service. Now, this is totally voluntary, okay? But I require it. And if you have some cash in your wallet, doesn't matter what it is, you have cash, let's give it to them as a honeymoon present. Amen? You know, I got a $20 bill out of the ATM yesterday. And I was going to use it for something else. Amen? But I'm going to give it to them as a honeymoon present. Amen? It'd be a blessing to Brother Tim. And praise the Lord for you. Amen. That helps keep the honey in the honeymoon. Amen. Praise the Lord. John chapter 9, a verse caught my attention this week out of this passage of Scripture. And so let's begin, please, reading with me this morning. Follow along as I read John chapter 9, verse number 1 in God's Word. Notice what the Bible says here. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest on him, in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Let's pray this morning. Lord, thank you for the songs that have been sung already this morning. And Lord, how our hearts are touched and prepared a little bit for your word this morning. And God, I just pray this morning that thy power and thy presence would meet with us in a wonderful way here in church this morning. And that one, Lord, who's needs comfort this morning, I pray thy hand would meet the need of that one who's going through a unseen burden or trial. God, we pray that you would meet the needs of that person, Lord, with thy word this morning. And Lord, that one who is not saved and doesn't know you, God, I pray today that you'd meet that need of their heart, that emptiness that only you can fill, Lord, by your Son, Jesus. So meet with us, we pray, as we open your word today in Jesus' name. We pray, amen. It's a wonderful story recorded in John's gospel of how Jesus was with his disciples one day, and they were walking, no doubt talking about different things here in Jerusalem, and they came across a man that was blind. And he was probably, no doubt, sitting at the gate, which is where beggars would sit. And they'd hold out their cups to whoever would come in and out of the gates. hoping to receive a little bit of money that they can eke out a meager living. And Jesus passed by and he saw this blind man. And the disciples asked him this question: who sinned that caused this man to be blind? Did his parents sin or did he sin? Wow, what a question. Who sinned? And Jesus answered that question. He said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Amen. Now that's interesting. Sometimes I wonder what God has in store and purposes for people who are blind, or people who are deaf, or people who have mental difficulties. You know, Jesus said here that this man was allowed by God to be blind, not because of sin, but because God had a work that he wanted to do in him. And I think that's interesting, because Jesus spat on the ground and he made clay of the spittle and he put it on the man's eyes. And then he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And the Bible says he did. And when he went to that pool of Siloam and he washed and cleansed all that off of his eyes, the Bible says he went his way, he washed, and he came seeing. He came seeing. God had a work to do in him. He healed blinded eyes. And can I tell you, there's some things that I notice about this passage of Scripture by way of introduction that I want to show you that were important. And the first thing I see is that there was a man here in a bad condition. He was blind. But this man was important to Jesus. I mean, Jesus stopped everything he did and took care of this man, spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, put it on his eyes, and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. What compassion Jesus must have for us. Amen. What care Jesus must have for us. What love God has for people. You ever wonder that? That's what's so wonderful about what Brother Turk is doing in the Bible. It is showing people the love and the grace of an almighty God. Because you see, they are spiritually blind. They need their eyes opened by the Word of God. And the Word of God has that power, doesn't it? The Word of God, if it opened your eyes, it can open their eyes. And Jesus had a work to do on this man, and he said that in verse 4. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Jesus is saying that I have a limited window of opportunity to accomplish what my Heavenly Father gave me to do. He said, this is it. This is the time. And Jesus began his earthly ministry in Cana of Galilee when he made water into wine. It was grape juice, we know. But when he turned that water into wine, he began his earthly ministry and went all the way to the cross. But there was a window of opportunity that God was given, Jesus was given, to do the works of God. But it wasn't just for him. He said also, the night cometh when no man can work. He said, I have a window of opportunity, but you also have a window of opportunity. You know what that window of opportunity is called? It's called our life. Our life is given to us by God as a window of opportunity to do the works that God has for us on this earth. And notice he said here that there's a night that comes when no man can work. Can I tell you today, there's a time coming when none of us are going to be able to do anything. There is a night that will come. The Israelite would work as soon as the sun came up, and they would work till as soon as the sun went down. Because when you just can't see anymore, it's really hard. I remember as a kid playing basketball and loving to play, and then the sun would go down. And you know, my shot got really bad when the sun went down for some reason. And you'd try to make the shots, and guess what? I remember it being so dark and it hitting the backboard and the ball come back and hit me on the head and I couldn't see it because it was dark out. It's time to quit playing basketball, right? But can I tell you what Jesus is saying? He's making this point here that we need to grab a hold of. And that is, our life is nothing more than a window of opportunity to get something done for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That is why you have breath in your soul. That is why God has given you life and given you maybe 70 years upon this earth. He didn't give it to us so we could stock up bank account money and so we could live high on the hog and live for ourselves. He did it because there is a work that needs to be done, because there's a night coming when nobody can work. There's a night coming. Every great preacher I know has preached great sermons, seen people come and flood the altars. They had a window of opportunity. Dale Moody, that great preacher, had a window of opportunity. But one day God called him home. The night came. The night came. And it was over. Can I tell you, it's the same in our life. We have opportunity to accomplish something, to fulfill our life for the Lord. We have a window. A window. You understand what I'm saying? A short opportunity. You know, I saw an interesting illustration about the word opportunity. And you know where the word opportunity came from? It came from a Latin word meaning ab portu. And the word ab portu was referring to a ship that was waiting for the moment when he could ride the tide into the harbor. And the tide, as the tide would come into the harbor, the ship captain had to wait out to watch and to be ready so that when that tide went in, at the right time, they could come into that harbor. Then the tide would go out and they would be safely in harbor. Because if they missed that opportunity, the night would come and they'd have to spend the night out on that ship, out in the water. And who knows what storms could arise. So the word ab portu came from the Latin word, take the opportunity to ride into that place when that time is just perfect. Can I tell you what? Life is filled with opportunities to do something for the Lord Jesus. Amen. I pulled into 7-Eleven yesterday. I had my list of things to do. I had my list of places I was going to go, people I was going to visit, things on my list, like we all do. I pulled into 7-Eleven. I pulled the gas pump out, you know, and flapped my card, and I put the gas nozzle in there, and nothing happened. And I was like, what's wrong with this pump? Pressed all the buttons, you know, tried everything I could to get the thing to work. So I put it back. I ran my card again. I said, oh, no, my wife spent all my money. There's no money left on the card. And so I ran the card again, pulled the pump out, tried to do it again. I sat there. I wanted to kick the gas pump. It wasn't coming out. I had my list of things to do. I was rip-roaring and ready to get my list taken care of. And a lady was sitting in the car on the opposite side of the pump. She says, yeah, I already tried that. Where did that voice come from? So I stepped aside to look between the pole and the gas pump. Yeah, I was already over there and that dumb thing doesn't work. And I wanted to say, why didn't you tell me earlier? This thought hit me though. Why did God allow me to pull into a gas pump that didn't work? Amen. Why? God knew I was busy that day, but there was a lady there. There was a lady there who needed that opportu, an opportunity. Amen. That window of time. That woman may never hear of God again. She may never go, I don't know anything about her. But something struck in my mind and said, you know what? God might have put me here for this reason. You see, when you're a Christian in God's will, you may have setbacks or you may have times when you don't understand what's going in life. But I want to tell you something. There are windows of opportunity in every facet of life, of every day. We just have to be conscious that God's given us windows of opportunity. I gave that lady a track. I said, ma'am, I'm a pastor down at Moore Baptist Church. We'd like for you to come visit us sometime. All right. Hung up the gas pump, and I went over to another one that worked and got gas. I'm simply saying that's a simple illustration, but every day is opportunities, and we only get a window. I got news for you, young people. You're going to be old someday. Your teeth are going to fall out. You're going to wear glasses as thick as your grandmother. You are. You're going to go down one day and buy a cane. Yeah. You say, me, I'm 18 years old. I'm going to buy. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Hey, night comes to all of us. Right? And even in Ecclesiastes, Solomon in his wisdom said, you know, serve now thy creator in the days of thy youth while the days draw nigh. And he talks about your grinders will cease. And he talks about your teeth. Yeah. The grinders cease. The windows darken as your eyes. And your hearing is going to get bad. Amen? You ever find yourself yelling to your husband or your wife in the house? Don't answer that question, right? Hey, that'll be you. There is a night that comes for all of us, every one of us. And life is a window of opportunity to do something for God. Are you taking opportunities that God sends your way? I'll be honest, I've missed plenty of my opportunities. Amen. And I feel regret many days over those missed opportunities. And we get wrapped up in what we're doing in life, and that's not necessarily wrong. We're busy and we're taking care of things, and life's busy. But how often do we forget that we're here to do the work of the Lord? Somebody needs to be saved. Somebody needs to hear the gospel. Somebody needs to know the Lord. And there's coming a day when night is coming. You may be shooting the basketball today, but there's a day when that sun's going to set. And you won't be able to shoot that ball anymore. Because night comes when no man can work. You see, life is about realizing this. It's about walking in an awareness of this every day. And realizing that when you get into that store or when you go here or that person at work, you see the tear in their eye. You see and know that you're put here. We're put here because Jesus not only did a work, but he said, the night cometh when no man can work. And we've got to take sole advantage of these opportunities that God sends our way. I love that story about the man who, David Gibbs tells a story. I've told it before, but I want to hear it again. But this lady pulled in her convertible to a 7-Eleven store. She was going in to do a drug deal. And a soul winner walked by her car, took a gospel track and just plopped it in the seat of her car, of her convertible. The top was down and he just threw it in her seat. He went in and the lady came out. And she saw that gospel track in her seat and she was just incensed. She was outraged. Somebody would have the audacity to put something like that in my car. She got out that track, she crumpled it up, she spat on the track, she threw it down and smashed it with her feet. She was yelling and screaming and cussing and hollering. She was making such a ruckus that the store manager called the police. Said, hey, there's a lady out here. She's crazy. The police came. Looked at the lady and said, ma'am, what are you doing? I remember she just got done with a drug deal. Lady, what are you doing here? She said, nothing. The police officer said, well, you better pick up your trash on that ground, put it in your car, and get out of here. The lady picked up the crumpled track. She spat on it. Threw it disgustingly in the car, got in her car and sped away. She went home and she gets home and she tells her mother, who was also a drug dealer. She tells her mother, she said, this cop, and she's telling the story, she's still in outrage in a sense. And the mother says, well, what could have been so horrible in that track that made you act so crazy? I'll go get it. I'll show it to you. She goes out and gets the wrinkled up, dirty, spat on track, gives it to her mother. Her mother takes it, unfolds it, reads the gospel track, and gets saved right there at her kitchen table. It made such a change in her life that her brother noticed it. Her brother, who was also a drug dealer, nice family. Her brother, who was also a drug dealer, said, what made such a change in my mother? He took that gospel track, he looked at it, and he read it. And he got saved. And God did a change in his life. The lady who spat on it said, well, what must be in this thing if you two made such change? She took the track from her mother, from her brother. She read it herself, and she got saved. And all three of them went to church the next Sunday. They began to tell all their drug friends about the Lord. 33 drug friends came to know the Lord. Amen. Because one man took an opportunity. That's all it was. He was a man that realized that that night's coming for all of us. That night is coming. And he put that gospel track in that car, and only heaven knows the impact of that. I say to you today that this world is full of opportunities if we're just spiritually aware of them. And once we are spiritually aware of them, if we do not pass them by, but we get on that tide, and ride that tide, that ab portu, where the tide, the opportunity is to take so that somebody can be saved. And that's what Jesus was teaching his disciples here. He's saying, you know, I'm going to die. The night comes for me. I'm going to go to a cross, and I'm going to shed my blood for mankind. And when I get done, I'll hang on that cross and give up the ghost and say, it is finished. The work of God will be completed. And when I do, I'm going to leave this earth and I'm going to go to heaven and the night has come. But he says, I'm leaving you here to do a work that must be done. But don't forget, night comes for you too. Night comes. You see, life is about finding, taking every little opportunity that we can. Give that gospel track. Show somebody the love of Christ. Show somebody the kindness and the compassion that God would show. Because in that, it is this recognition that night is coming. Do you know that when you get to heaven, there won't be anybody else that can get saved? When you get to heaven, you've handed out your last tract. You've witnessed to your last person. You've encouraged your last soul. You've done the last bit of work that you can do. Unless you live your life to where what you've done in life continues on to speak and to work and to change people's lives. But the window of opportunity, you know, D.L. Moody isn't alive anymore. All the disciples, all the apostles of Jesus, their night came. And you and I can be sure that our night's going to come. So we must do the work of him that sent us while it is day. I want you to notice that there is a realization. First of all, there's the importance of taking our windows of opportunity. Secondly, there is the realization that opportunities will not always be there. Someday, our night's going to come. And may I tell you what? We want to be able to look back on all these times. We want to be able to look back on all the opportunities we took. Maybe we can't convince somebody about Jesus, but we can take our opportunity. And some will be saved. Thank God for those who are saved. Because we took that opportunity. And so there is the impact of taking the opportunity. You know, I didn't read the rest of the chapter, but if you go home and read the rest of the chapter, you're going to find that this incident of Jesus healing this blind man, it started spreading. And people started asking questions, and of course the Pharisees got in on it, and they were like, you know, well, how did you, who healed you? Jesus. How did he do that? You know, they're trying to doubt and find fault with him or find some way like it was a magic trick or something. And they're trying to find a loophole in what Jesus did. But the more they talk, the more it spreads. And the man says, I don't know how he did it, but I know one thing. I was blind, but now I see. I don't know how it happened, but I know that I was blind. Now I see. I'll tell you, I think back in that day when I got saved and trusted the Lord. I don't know how it all happened, but I know one thing. I'm saved, and when that trumpet blows, I'm going to be gone. And I'm thankful for that, and praise God, but hear me, until that night comes, we've got opportunities we've got to take advantage of. We've got them. We've got to seize them. We've got to let God use us in them. We've got to speak up. We've got to be the voice that the lost need to know. And the compassionate heart of God needs to come through us so that they can know Christ and be saved. The realization. You know, there's a big impact when we take that opportunity. Jonathan Hernandez, our missionary, tells a story of, it's a regretful story, of how he was in Bible college one day and he went to the gas pump. I don't know how this sermon is always getting around to the gas pump. I don't know. But he went to his car and he's a busy college student. He was tired and he had to go to work. And there was a guy across there filling up his gas tank, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him. He said, give that guy a track. And you know, he said, I'm busy and I'm tired and I just don't feel like talking. He said, as I was pumping my gas, the guy got in his car and he went out there. As soon as he got out on the road, a car hit him right there in front. and killed that man that was right in front of him, and he didn't give that gospel tract to. Can I tell you, we may not have things in life that seem that dramatic, but have you ever stopped to think that the night does come for every lost soul too? The night comes for every lost soul. You know, the Apostle Paul had an opportunity one day. They rushed him in front of Herod. And Paul wasn't shy. He began to tell Herod about his faith in Christ. And he began to tell him how he was a Jew. And one day, walking down the road to Damascus, the light shined and God saved him on that road. He changed his life. And he's telling this to Herod, and he's telling him how to get saved is really what he's doing. And Herod made these fateful words. He said, "Almost, almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian." You see, Paul took the opportunity he had, but Herod did not. He did not take that opportunity. He could have trusted the Lord right there, couldn't he have? I mean, the message was given. It was clear. But almost. I wonder how many people in this world are almost there. I wonder how many people are almost there, but yet they miss the truth. And they miss receiving Christ. You see, almost isn't good enough when it comes to salvation. God wants you to come in fully. God wants you to be saved. God wants you to open up your heart today. And don't let it be said that you never had an opportunity to be saved. You know, that's one thing I like about the internet. We do our services online. We never know who's out there listening. I just hope that the right person happens to scroll across Facebook that day or scroll across YouTube one day and hear from a preacher the opportunity to get saved. But you know what? A lot of times as Christians, we don't give the opportunity. And a lot of times as lost people, they don't seize the opportunity. And can I tell you today, God wants us to take advantage of every opportunity. Don't live in regret. Make the object of your window of opportunity someone, somebody who needs you. You know, I believe that there's somebody you can win to Christ. I believe that. And I believe there's somebody that only you can win to Christ. And you know what? Many times fear controls us, or many times busyness captures our mind. And there may not be anything wrong with that. But how often do we let the opportunities go by where we just forgot that night was coming? Christian, can I challenge you today? Can I challenge you today to remember something? Remember those words that the Lord Jesus spoke when he said, "Night cometh. Night cometh." When I was in Bible college, I was challenged with those two words, "Night cometh." I took them on a 3x5 card and I wrote just those two words. And I taped them to the inside fly leaf of my Bible because I didn't want to forget it. I didn't want to forget it. I did that when I was 18, and guess what? I'm not 18 anymore. I'm 55 now. You know what? That night's getting closer. That night's getting closer. Don't get me wrong. I can't wait to see heaven. That's going to be a beautiful place. That's going to be a wonderful place. But I got news for you. I want to share it with some people. Amen. I want some lost people. I want some kids who don't have an opportunity to know. I want them to have an opportunity to know Christ. They may not have a good life. They may have a horrible life, but they can have a wonderful afterlife. I want them to know. I want them to have that window of opportunity given to them by this church right here on this corner so they can know. And dear friend, I want to remind you that that night is coming for all of us. It's coming. It shouldn't be feared, but it should be respected that I got to get something done. I got to get something done while I'm here. And by the way, I believe if a person puts their mind to it, it's amazing what can be done. One person. One person. Oh, we get so wrapped up in everything else. We get wrapped up in me, my wants, what I have, my selfish world. How often we live there. How often that's the only thing that consumes us. But Jesus is teaching his disciples, I got to go away. There's a night coming for me. There's a night coming for you too, Peter. There's a night coming for you, Paul. All of you disciples, there's a night coming. And here it is 2,000 years later, and the same words resound in our ears. But there's a night coming for all of us. Can I encourage you to take opportunities? Take the opportunity, and maybe you still have an open opportunity somewhere. Grab it, take it, and trust God. Don't let fear control you. Don't let uncertainty get your mind. Be glad that you had that opportunity and take it with all your heart. Take it with all your mind. And when you die one day, we're going to say like the Apostle Paul, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. You know what Paul was saying? He's saying it's nighttime. It's nighttime. And when that night came for Paul, he said, I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of... You know what makes heaven sweet? What makes heaven sweet is what we've done on this earth for the Lord. Because we will see our faith become sight when we get there. So find those opportunities. Let's use them for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads this morning. Let's close our eyes. I wonder, maybe there's somebody here this morning who'd say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. I know I've trusted Christ. There's been a day when I put my faith in the Lord Jesus. I know I'm saved. If you can say that honestly in your heart today, you know you're saved, would you lift your hand? I know I'm saved. There's been a day. There's been a time when I've opened my heart to Christ. I'm saved. Thank you. God bless you. Maybe you're here this morning. You couldn't lift your hand honestly. You say, Preacher, pray for me. I don't know if I died today. I'm going to heaven. I know there's a night coming for me. There's a night coming for me. I need to be saved. Would you pray for me? Is there one like that today who lift their hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. Is there one? Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Or maybe I'm sure if I died today, I would not go to heaven. But I want to be prepared because I know night's coming. If that's you, would you lift your hand and I'll pray for you. I won't embarrass you. I won't come to you. But I do want you to know in your heart that it's settled between you and God. Do you know that? Maybe you're here today and you're a Christian, you're saved. Maybe there are some opportunities out there to do God's work. And maybe God would speak to your heart and say, this is an opportunity here. And God will take it and use it. Are you seizing your opportunities? Are you looking for those opportunities? Let's take them. And let's take that truth into heart this morning that night is coming when no man can work. Lord, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for this admonition in your word. Lord, may we take it into our mind and our heart that we can do what we can do for you and your glory. Help us not to let the opportunities pass us by, but help us to take them, to seize them, and our life for your glory. We'll pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. As the piano plays a song of invitation this morning, you're here today and you're not saved and you don't know the Lord, would you slip out and come? Would you slip out and come? Say, preacher, I need to be saved. Would you come this morning? You have an opportunity to trust Christ this morning. You have a chance. You've heard the word. You know what to do. The opportunity to be saved is yours. Would you come? Would you come? She plays another verse of invitation. God's knocking at your heart this morning. Maybe there's something in your life that's inhibiting you. Maybe there's something in your life, that, some sin, some problem in your heart that is predominant in your mind. And why don't you give that to God this morning? Why don't you come and make it right with God and be blessed? God wants to bless your life. The altar is an opportunity to make things right with God and be close again to Him. You can lay every problem, every sin on the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you come this morning? Is going to play one more verse of invitation this morning. This will be the last verse. If God's still knocking on your heart and you need to be saved, why don't you respond? The Lord loves you. He died for you. He wants to save you. If you'll come, it's an opportunity. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you healed that blind man on that day, and he lived the rest of his life seeing. And God, help us, I pray, in the avenues of life where we find ourselves, in all these places that Lord, open up opportunities to us. Help us, I pray, to take them and use them for your glory. And we will thank you and praise your name, because it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.